RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights, from backyard jams to sold-out arenas. There's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Coca-Cola. For the big, for the small, the short, and the tall. Peacemakers, risk takers. For the optimists, pessimists. For long distance love. For introverts and extroverts. The thinkers and the doers. For old friends and new. Coca-Cola, for everyone. Pick up some Coca-Cola at a store near you.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bovee and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Matt and I are schedule nerds, as everybody knows, and I remember when the schedule came out in May, we said, all right, well, week 18, final regular season game at Highmark Stadium, but it won't be the last regular season game, and if it is, well, something really terrible happened, and the season did not go the way it should have, we thought it would for the Buffalo Bills. Well, here we are. It's not for sure certain, but looks like it's pretty certain. Next week will be the final game at Highmark Stadium, and that is partly because today the Bills lose 13-12 to the Philadelphia Eagles, which gives them no shot at all to win the AFC East. New England is now the AFC East champions. The Bills will either be the 5, 6, or 7 seed, most likely really the 6 or 7 based on the math right now. That's the big picture. But we're here to talk about what happened during the game today. 13-12 loss to the Eagles. Matt just got back from the stadium. I did a little while ago as well. We're still processing this one. So, okay, buddy. I think there's so many ways that we can start with this and where to go. You've had a little bit of a drive home to think about it. Where's your head at?
I have so many things that I could talk about. I have so many takes. So many takes. Let's start with the two-point conversion, and then let's kind of work our way back.
Okay.
It was undoubtedly like the right decision. I
agree.
Know that there's other people out there who think like you've held them to no yards in the second half. Why would you not take the game to overtime? I asked Sean McDermott afterwards and he danced around it a little bit. I think Josh Allen's soreness in foot played a factor here. I think they thought we have one play to win this and we do not want to expose him to potentially more hits and getting beat up in overtime. Let's go for the win now. So I have absolutely no issue. And I think that this shows a philosophical change in Sean McDermott. For years, he has been the guy who trusts his defense. Now he's the guy who trusts his quarterback. And I think more times than not, the quarterback will make the play. Today, he did not. This is on Josh Allen. He is not above the criticism. He flat out missed the throw, but that doesn't mean it was a bad decision.
Agreed. The two-point conversion was the right decision, and I'm going to say all those things are right. On top of the fact that they missed the extra point, it was the second missed extra point. Yes, it was blocked, came off his foot low. I don't think they trusted the kicker. They didn't trust the kicker, and why would you? It was, and you're leaving it the chance even kicking the extra point, and even if you do make the extra point, you still have to go to overtime and, again, get Josh out of harm's way. He's feeling, you know, he's obviously, the foot is bothering him, obviously. Other people, you have other injuries that are going on. There's no guarantee you're going to win the game. I have zero issue whatsoever with going for two. I think that's why they went for it. They shouldn't have been in that position because Michael Badgley, the offensive line, they should have made the extra point. And then guess what, folks? They kick the extra point and they win the game. But that didn't happen. Or at least they try, maybe they get that one blocked. Who knows? That's the point. I agree with you. And yes, you're 100% right. Josh Allen deserves the criticism for the throw on the play. It was a very well-designed play by Joe Brady. I don't think Joe Brady had a great game, but I think that was a really well-designed play by Joe Brady. They knew what they wanted to do. They had it drawn up. Khalil Shakir said they'd worked on it. Shakir was open. Josh Allen flat out missed him.
I think that it has something to do with Josh Allen missed him. Josh Allen missed him. And like I said, we can be critical of Josh Allen. I still think he's one of the best, if not the best players in the NFL, but he did not have a great game on Sunday. He really didn't. There was a lot of plays that he left out there. I think in his head, because of his lack of trust in the wide receivers, he is feeling pressure sooner than it is getting to him, and it is rushing throws that he is sometimes sharp on. I think if you watch, and we've probably all watched it back a couple times, if you watch the play, I think he rushes the throw because he feels pressure to the right-hand side, but that pressure wasn't really imminent. Like Spent or whoever was in there was able to kind of fend that rusher off for that extra second. And I mean, and if he waits another half second, I mean, Sal, it is the most routine pitch and catch from a quarterback to a wide receiver in the back of the end zone. He doesn't even need to throw a fastball, but I think he rushed it a little bit. And I think a lot of that has to do with his lack of trust in some of the options and probably even some of the play calling that is around him.
Matt, I think that's been the issue a lot this year with Josh Allen in the games where he hasn't been at his best. I just think all year, it seems like he's rushing out of the pocket too soon. He's throwing the ball too soon, but some of that's justified because he's been under pressure. Even the play doubling back, last week we saw it, this week we saw it. I think it's all part of it. It's something we've seen all year from Josh Allen, which is just a little bit maybe trigger happy to get rid of the ball, a little bit trigger happy to get out of the pocket when he doesn't have to. And this time it cost them and cost them the game. They lose 13-12, but there's a lot of things that led up to that point. So you said, let's work backward. You're right. This team went 3 quarters and 10 minutes being shut out. The last time those were shut out in a game was Josh Allen's rookie year at the Green Bay Packers.
I remember that game.
It was the year, it was the week after they won in Minnesota, that big win they had. And they were 5 minutes and 11 seconds away from being shut out. A Josh Allen-led offense. An offense that's number 3 in the league in scoring points this year was 5 minutes and 11 seconds away from being shut out. And that's because they just made critical mistakes at inopportune times. Once again, that has been the theme of this year with the offense, aside from not having the passing game. I get it. That's a big issue. But when they get things rolling, sometimes they have a critical mistake that puts them in a position where they have to pass because it's third and long, and then something else goes awry.
Here's the difference. When Josh Allen plays like a top five quarterback, this offense really shows its warts. When he plays like the best player on the planet, of course they look great because there's nobody better than him. That was a lot of last year. He was the MVP, and there were very few games where he did not look like he was damn near perfect. This year, there are times when you look at him and you're like, I missed a play there, missed a play there. And then it gets us to, you know, the domino effect is crazy. Think about all of the things that happened in this game of you have the fumble that Josh had that was maybe an incomplete pass, maybe it was an incomplete pass that led to 7 points from the Eagles. Then you have when the Bills finally get down the field in the second half on the crazy catch that maybe wasn't even a catch from Tyrell Shavers, and the Bills can't get into the end zone and they don't score any points there. And then, like, I know I don't want to harp on it too much, but if they had a kicker who could kick an extra point, they win the game on an extra point. And I don't blame them for going for two at the end, but I do blame them for having him on the roster. If you knew this was going to be a problem, why is he the guy that you have there? If you can't trust him in these situations, he should not be on the team. There has to be another kicker out there who is available who can make extra points.
I'm going to try and answer the question as best I can, and it's not defending it or justifying it. I'm going to answer because we had Richard, the first person in our chat tonight. Thank you very much for chatting and coming by. We're live tonight on YouTube. And if you're coming to watch us live, thank you. At Sal Sports, at Matt underscore Bove on X. We're live right now. We're watching. You got 1,800 live viewers right now as I talk. We're on the audio side afterwards, recorded all that. Richard was the first one in and he said, why did they keep Badgley when he struggled all season on PATs, including last week? And it's a good question. Matt just brought it up. Here's my best guess. They did bring in kickers. This week, they had three, I believe, that they tried out. A, they didn't like any of them. And B, a shorter week because of Christmas. They had walkthroughs, and they didn't want to have a whole new operation with a guy that didn't work with the holder and the snapper. You might not like that, folks. I get it. But I think that's – I'm just telling you how coaches think and organizations think. If you need to switch midstream during the week of a brand new guy bringing him in there, they would rather not do that and take their chances to go with the guy that struggled last week.
Yeah, and I understand the justification there. It's just so many times this year, kicker has been an Achilles heel for this team. And I thought months ago, I was like, I don't know if we're ever going to see Tyler Bass again in the future. And now I'm like, he just might be better than the other options that they have. Think about some of the losses that they've had to teams that have very, very solid defenses. I would say this is one of those losses, and Houston is one of those losses. At the end of the Houston game, they had to go for a touchdown because Matt Prater missed an extra point on the Ray Davis kick return. And that turned out to be a very crucial miss. And then think about this game. I asked Sean McDermott after the game if the blocked extra point was more of a great play from the Eagles or more of poor execution from
Good question by you, by the way. I was there. It was a good question for him for you to ask that because it gives insight into how coaches look at things.
And I think he gave a pretty telling answer without flat out calling out the special teams and the kicker, but basically said, hey, they made a good play to their credit, but there was a lot of things we could have done better on that play. And that's a ball that should be able to just get up. I mean, you're talking about an extra point here. This does not need to be a line drive. And if you go and you look at it, it was a line drive. Jalen Carter is a very big person, but him, even with his arm extended out, the ball should be much higher than that on a routine chip shot extra point. But I believe Badgley has missed or had extra points blocked 5 times this year. And this is not somebody who has played every single week. This is a problem. They need Prater back. Prater isn't even perfect, but he's much better than Badgley. And I have no confidence going into the playoffs if that is their kicking situation. And it's
I don't. I fully expect him to not be on the roster this week.
I mean,
I guess you could keep him one more week and say, what does it matter? You just have to get through this week. This game kind of doesn't matter, the win-loss part of it. So you could keep Michael Badgley on the roster if you want, but I think that you kind of might need to move on. They might just have to do it. They might just have to keep him there for the sake of not having to shuffle more roster spots and paying guys to come up for games. And they need an elevation for somebody else. I mean, they might have to do that just because of that, Matt, to be honest with you. Like you need elevations next week because you got to start resting guys. And if that's the case, you know, I don't know what they want to do then at kicker and how they want to treat it because they don't have somebody they can put on the 53 other than Prater. And Sean McDermott did say Prater is getting better. he didn't know exactly, like he didn't give an exact timeline. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's able to kick next week, but man, it's a spot right now where he's your best option. He's got to come back. He hasn't been perfect this year, but he's definitely been better than what they have and what they trotted out there.
And just think about it. Like, if that the ifs, ands, or buts, there's so many things that you can point to, and you can do this in every game. And I'm not making excuses. There's a lot of things that I want to be really critical about this game. If they just kick extra points, they win the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's 13-13 and they make the extra point, it's just that's why part of the it's all of the stuff. And that's why when you all put it together, it's why I think going for two makes sense.
Okay, so agreed. I don't want to boil it down to just making extra points. You're right on the surface. Mm-hmm. If Josh Allen doesn't throw the ball and tuck rule play, uh-huh. and they have the fumble, they might not need it, and they might win the game too, because, Matt, that's a second down and three.
Yeah.
You have two chances to get a first down. First of all, I hate the play call. Uh-huh. It's second down and three. There's no reason to have a hobble Josh Allen rolling out to his right on the play. And I know you're trying to get a little element surprise because you know they're thinking run. That's fine. And I don't want to be results based, right? And I think that's the wrong way to look at it. But man, just give it to James Cook a couple times. Keep that drive running. They're at the 23-yard line when that happens.
Yeah,
That's a scoring play.
Yeah,
that's a scoring drive.
Yeah, I mean, you were 3 yards away from one more first down, and you're in the red zone, and who knows what happens there. That was a couple plays after they had hit Brandon Cooks for that deep shot,
yes.
which, by the way, happened after another Josh Allen fumble. Listen, rainy, gross conditions, bad. Both teams had to play in them. The Bills made more mistakes in this game than the Eagles did, and I don't think it's a coincidence that even though it came down to the wire, the Eagles were the team that was able to sneak out the win. They did not play well by their standards either. Like, this is a very forgettable game for the Eagles, but they didn't have the crucial mistakes that the Bills had. They were just kind of blah the entire game. The Bills were bad for the first 55 minutes offensively, then finally woke up, and then defensively, obviously, there's a lot to like about the Bills' performance today.
Yeah, and we can get to that in a second. That I said on the radio broadcast to my partners, Chris Brown and Eric Wood, during a timeout, I said, man, you can't make mistakes like this. This is how you lose to bad teams, let alone good ones, right? When you make mistakes like that. The Eagles are too good of a team to make those kinds of mistakes. But it wasn't just on Josh Allen, by the way. He wasn't his best. We know that. He was a bit hobbled, but they couldn't protect him. I mean, I'm doing my arrow up, arrow down column. I have not put it out there yet because I'm still working on it. But I'm going to tell everybody, one of the arrows down is to the two guards, Osiris Torrance and David Edwards. Yeah. They got eaten up today. That was not a good performance. Remember, against Houston, it was the outside guys. It was the edges.
Uh-huh.
In this game, it was the opposite. It was Davis and Carter on the inside, and they got eaten up today, and there was way too much pressure. And that's when I think Josh Allen had to try to make some things happen. And that's when things started happening that, you know, went a little funky, but that was not a good day for the interior offensive line.
No, for sure. I mean, Jalen Carter, a couple reps, just dominated the interior offensive line. He is a phenomenal player, and I think that has a lot to do with why this game went south and why it took the offense so long to get things going, is that they were simply losing at the line of scrimmage. The Eagles' defensive line was winning far too consistently, and once again, the Bills in this, you know, for a lot of this game, we're kind of playing from behind the sticks because their early runs that they like to do with James Cook were not clipping off big gains. They were clipping off 1 or 2 yards, and they just do not have the pass catchers to get open when they are playing from behind the sticks. And when the offensive line isn't having a great game, then it just kind of makes all of these problems come out to the forefront. And I think we saw a lot of that in this game.
Josh Allen was sacked 5 times. Do you know how many yards he lost on those sacks combined?
40?
51.
Wow. That's crazy.
51 yards and negative 51 negative yards, backward yards on sacks. Twice took him out of field goal range, these mistakes that happened. The mistake we're just talking about with the throw, and I thought it was a forward pass at first. I don't know. I didn't see the full replay from Sean said after the game. The replay he saw was the one I saw too from the video board. But then Tom Rinaldi on the sidelines, I asked Tom, we were looking, he said it's kind of a tuck rule thing. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. When you look at it like that, I didn't see the full replay. But then the sack would drives the circle around. He's trying to do too much. 51 yards in lost yardage on those plays. Not good enough. You said Brandon Cooks, he was good enough. James Cook, a pedestrian day, I would say. He was not terrible. Tough to run on this team. He had a few runs here or there. You know, they tried to lean on him as much as possible, but it's very tough when you're losing first down. That was a key element of today. I thought the Bills lost first down, especially on the offensive side, on the defensive side early on, but on the offensive side, they lost first down. And Matt, when that happens and you're playing a really good defense, mm-hmm. you're now already putting yourself in a tough spot.
Yeah, definitely. And this is not anything new. We've seen this. Like, against good defenses, this team has really struggled this year. Part of it is the offensive line. Part of it is the pass catchers. Part of it is the play calling that is continuously suspect. And part of it is that just Josh Allen hasn't played super well against some of these elite defenses. And that's a bit of a problem as we get ready to now obviously shift our focus into the postseason, into the playoffs. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we'll get to, I'm sure. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, this isn't breaking news. This isn't earth shattering. This is what it's been all year. They start slow. They start to figure things out. And the last couple weeks, they've been able to figure it out with enough time. This week, they couldn't. I mean, I think I saw, I want to look up the tweet. I think Perrin from the Buffalo News had it. He's their sports editor. I think it's something like the Bills have given up the first points in the last 8 games they've played or something, which is just crazy, but I think it's right.
That is insane. I didn't know that, but you're right.
Let me look it up.
I mean, they have been good at scoring on first drives most of the year, but not today and not the last couple of weeks, I guess, because they didn't do it against.
Yeah, eight straight game in which really? The Bills opponent has scored first.
Wow. I mean, not a good recipe. And you know, we talked to people in Bills players in the locker room about coming back and have faith in coming back. And to a man, they say what I think is right, which is, well, that's great, but we don't want to be in that position. That, like, the whole goal is to not do that. You need to get out and a faster start. And you're going to need to do that against some playoff teams. And, you know, the Bills are going to go to the playoffs. We don't know exactly what seed they're going to be. And a lot of that's going to depend on next week. We will have mm-hmm. for you here while we are on, while we are doing this, we will give you the week 18 schedule. There is less than a minute left right now in the Niners Bears game, but it's a 6-point game. I'm sorry. Wait,
4-point.
No, game. I'm sorry. Oh, it's a 4-point game. Sorry. I was trying to look up and my math is off right now. It's a 4-point game. So if the Bears, you know, score here, they can win. 49ers my home. My point is they're going to announce it on the post game. We will have it for you.
Right now, get up to 20% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find, even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 20% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Game's over. Time to check my fantasy scores.
You using a VPN?
Why?
Because using public Wi-Fi without a VPN is like leaving your wallet open on the table.
Oh, time to up my defense.
McAfee Secure VPN keeps your personal information private and is included in all McAfee plans starting at just $39.99 for your first year. Sign up at McAfee.com/online protection.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders. writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here is a comment from Simon Hoops 1716. Josh Allen chokes. It's a couple minutes ago. Like, here's what I'll say, Simon. There are instances this year where he has not made the play. I can think of two right off the bat. I can think of the 2-point conversion in this game, and I can think of the Houston game where there was maybe an open Dawson Knox underneath, and they did not get that first down, and they ultimately lost the game. But for all of the instances where, in your words, he chokes or he does not make a play, you can find games where he does make a play. In the Ravens game at the beginning of the year, they were down 15 points with 5 minutes left, and Josh Allen won them that game. Against the Patriots, they did nothing in the first half, and he scored touchdowns on 5 consecutive drives. In the Bengals game, they were awesome in the second half, and then he converted on like a 3rd-and-16 rushing play that sealed them the win. So you can't say he's always choking, he's not making the play. Say it, it's him.
No,
it's not just him. You roll with number 17. Like Sean McDermott said, I trust him to make a play. I also trust him to make a play. I think he's your best chance, and you live and you die with 17. And then, you know, Simon just commented.
I want you to know before you came in here, all Simon was doing was talking about how bad Josh Allen is in critical moments.
Hey, listen,
which is ridiculous.
It's
not true. He is literally the best quarterback ever in the playoffs statistically.
I know. But
so I have no time for that.
And let me say this too. You can say what a boneheaded decision it was for Josh Allen to run backwards and take that huge sack. And you're right, but you have the benefit of hindsight, because you know what sometimes happens when Josh Allen does crazy shit? He makes an unbelievable play. They were not going to kick the field goal. They don't trust their kicker, clearly. That would have been like a 47-yard kick, and they were already still at that point down 13-0. They would have gone for it on 4th-and-8, and who knows if they would have converted. I don't really know. But you have to live and die with Josh Allen, and that is what this team is, and that is what this team has been. And sometimes it just feels like people don't fully understand that. He's going to do unbelievable stuff, and he's going to do stupid stuff. That's what he has done his entire career. That's Josh Allen.
I'm not going to acknowledge that guy anymore. He was being an idiot earlier, so sorry.
Sorry. It's okay. No, it's okay. I just get fired up.
No. You can definitely criticize Josh Allen, Peter, and we are. He missed the throw today. He was not at his best today. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I think it's ridiculous to even go down this road. I don't know how you can watch this man for the last 8 years of your life as a Buffalo Bills fan and come to the conclusion he always fails in the most critical of moments when he's made play after play after play, when his team has needed him to make play after play after play in big time moments and big time games. Give me a freaking break. Let's talk about something else. How about Brandon Cooks catching balls from Josh Allen today that finally worked?
Yeah, for sure. That was a good sign for the Bills. And, you know, it was funny because going into this game and going into this week, I kind of joked. I was like, hey, here's the good. Brandon Cooks is getting open, and that's important. Here's the bad. He's dropping these balls. In this game, he made some really nice catches for them. I think that keeps the defense honest. I think the ability to stretch the field is important. I think he did enough in this game to earn one of those five wide receiver spots that they will inevitably be rolling with when they get into the postseason. I also think there's a chance we never see Keon Coleman play for the Bills again. I think that's a real possibility because the fact that he was once again a healthy scratch in this game, unless there's an injury, like, I just don't know.
Somebody earlier, I apologize, one of you chatters here. Thank you. Somebody said, why is Gabe even out there? He poses nothing. Just play Keon. At least the defense has to respect him. That is not true. I don't think Keon does anything the defense has to respect at this point. I think Gabe Davis, we could definitely make an argument whether he should be on the field or not or somebody else, but I would still choose him over Keon Coleman at this point.
Yeah, I think so too, which, you know, is saying a lot because I know I'm a Gabe truther, but he has not provided very much. You know, there's a couple times where he has gone off script, but it has not happened consistently. He had only one target in this game, and that was honestly just a quick slant from Josh to try and snap the ball because I think they thought that the Tyrell Shavers catch might be reversed and ruled an incomplete, so they were just trying to get a snap off as quick as possible. So, yeah, other than that, like, Gabe Davis did nothing in this game. Luckily for the Bills, you know, by their standards, they actually had some production from a wide receiver with Brandon Cooks, but then after that, I mean, it's like Tyrell Shavers had 36 yards. Khalil Shakir had 33 yards. Josh Palmer had 12 yards. Like, these are not, when your quarterback throws for 262, these are not NFL wide receivers numbers. These are like the fourth and fifth wide receiver numbers, not like the top guys.
Comody and Mo Brown, every game Keon doesn't play, they lose. Incorrect. The first game he didn't play, they won against Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was the game he was suspended the first time. He did not play in that game. He was a healthy scratch. They won that game. And then the next game was against Houston. So they rolled with the same lineup. And yes, we know they lost that particular game. All right. So Brandon Cooks, though, very nice for him to step back in and had over 100 yards, had a couple of really nice plays down the field in the rain. Josh hit him on that early on bomb and play the hit down there. And then they've turned the ball over later on. He came up with a beautiful catch down the field. That's nice to see. I hope that can continue because they need a little bit more from their outside threat. They didn't have Dalton Kincaid available in this game. That hurt them from a standpoint of a pass catching standpoint. Dawson Knox had a couple of catches that wound up being fruitful for the Bills. Okay. On the defensive side, Matt, we have kind of transitioned this year watching this Bills season. It kind of dawned on me when I was driving home thinking about this. Like, I know the defense still has issues sometimes. I get it, but it really feels like the ire of the fan base has shifted from the defense to the offense as this season has gone on, and probably rightfully so.
I think that's probably because you're right. There are substantially higher expectations with the offense. So when the defense does do something well, I think people are like, ooh, yay, look, the defense did something well. But the defense kept them in this game. Defense was phenomenal. I mean, Jalen Hurts did not have a completion in the second half, and they were really able to kind of slow down and limit Saquon Barkley. So to their credit, there is a lot to like from the defense. I also do not mean to be kicking somebody while they're down. But once again, Terrell Bernard leaves the game with an injury. Shaq Thompson comes in and the defense is better. They need to stop making this a thing. Just let Shaq Thompson play linebacker for the remainder of the season if he's healthy. I really don't think it's that complicated.
Luther Burden is down at the end of the Bears game against the 49ers. The Niners have won 42-38. The Niners could be the number one seed in the NFC West. We know the Bills can't be the number one, two, three, or four seed in the AFC because they did not win the division. That's New England. Mm-hmm. The Niners could be the number one seed in the NFC, I should say, overall NFC. They win this game. We're going to have the Week 18 schedule for you in just a little while. Once again, second half, amazing job by the Bills defense. They didn't have to be so much more amazing than they were in the first half, though, because they did a good job in the first half, Matt. The Bills defense played a good game from start to finish. They just gave up one drive. I think they'd want back after the Eagles got the ball at midfield after the turnover. Talked to a couple guys in the locker room. They like to have that drive back. Obviously, scored a touchdown. But, man, it's hard when you're always just trying to keep your team in the game as much as possible. And they did. They did it time after time. I mean, the Eagles got nothing in the second half. I'm going to read you the Eagles' drives in the second half. Folks, these are the Eagles' drives in the second half. All right, here we go. Five plays, 13 yards. Three plays, 0 yards. Three plays, 2 yards. Three plays, 4 yards. Three plays, negative 2 yards. One play, negative 1 yard. That's on a kneel down. So even taking that kneel down, 17 plays for 17 yards. 17 plays for 17 yards in the second half.
They played great. They played great. And, you know, there's a lot of things that you can point to, but they played phenomenal. I thought that they were really good on third downs in the second half. That was a little bit of an issue in the first half. I think that they were putting the Eagles in third and long situations, and the pass rush was at least creating pressure that was causing Jalen Hurts to have to escape the pocket. But, you know, we always talk about, like, hey, you got to have somebody ready to go when these quarterbacks escape the pocket. They did a good job containing him. And a couple times he, like, just hit the deck because I think that he didn't want to make a big-time mistake. So I guess he deserves some credit there. But, yeah, the defense was great in the second half. And I've really came into this game worried about how they would stop the run with no Daquan Jones and with no Jordan Phillips and, you know, the injury to Jordan Poyer and what they were going to do there. But I think collectively there was a lot to like from the defense. And that makes you feel a little bit better about, in a playoff game, maybe they would be the ones that step up and you don't need an insane performance from the offense. You just need a pretty good day from the offense.
The Bills obviously were clearly focusing on Saquon Barkley in this game. They wanted to make sure that, you know, the Eagles running game, and especially Saquon, didn't get going. And they did a good job on him. He carried the ball 19 times for 68 yards, averaged 3.6 yards a carry. The Bills run defense, which has been much maligned this year, it hasn't been good, and was missing pieces in this game. They came to play. I really like what I saw from Fedarian Mathis in this game. I think that he deserves to have a little bit more of a look as they go forward here. Maybe you keep him up over TJ Sanders in a game when everybody's healthy. Who knows? We'll see when Ed Oliver comes back. I think Andre Jones came in and did a decent job as well. Again, people said, how come you don't have Matthew Judon? I get it. That was a question I got the other day. Uh-huh. Why not elevate Judon? Well, maybe he's not ready yet, system-wise. Also, maybe the Bills are not wanting to show him necessarily before they get to the playoffs. I'll also say, because I think Andre Jones has actually played well the last 2 weeks he's been on the field.
Yeah, for sure. I think that defensively, I thought Milano made some splash plays. I thought Taron had a couple good plays. Greg, there were a couple plays, which is a good sign. It's not something that I'm going to bet on. I'm not going to bet on this Bills defense to be the thing that, you know, potentially carries them once they get into the playoffs. But I feel a tad more optimistic about that side of the ball than I did a couple weeks ago, because there are positive signs. And really, this has been the last several weeks. It was the second half against the Patriots, they played well. It was a lot of the game against the Browns, they played well. And in this game, they played well. So there's things to like. And, you know, when you start to think about, like, playoff matchups and who they could play, there are a couple matchups where I think the defense could have a nice day. I just have a lot of questions about the Bills offense. And I can't believe that's the point that we've gotten to. That, you know, I have just as much faith in the defense as the offense.
Somebody just want to make sure I got the commenter right here just said to me and just wrote to us that Hurts
He didn't have a completion
pass in the second half. That's right. I apologize. Somebody had it on here and I forget who it was. And I apologize. Dutch, I believe it was. That's correct. Yeah. He was 13 of 20 in the first half, 0 of 7 in the second half.
Yeah. So, I mean, clearly they did a good job there. And, you know, to his credit, he made some crazy throws in the first half by getting out of the pocket. There was one drive where I think he had like three or four third down conversions that were great. But Bills kind of locked it down defensively in the second half.
Yeah, they did for sure. Give them credit. And by the way, some guys who were also out. Here we go. Here's your Week 18 schedule. We have it right now, folks. Your Bills-Jets game is going to be Sunday, and I believe it will be a later game. It will be a 4 o'clock game because I'm looking at the 1 p.m. schedule. They are not either. Panthers Bucks Saturday, Seahawks 49ers Saturday. Sunday, 1 o'clock. I'm sorry. Sunday, 1 o'clock. Let's see. Vikings, Bengals, Texans, Giants, Falcons, Jags. No, I'm waiting for them to flip the screen here. Sorry, folks, bear with me here. I believe it is going to be the Bills playing a 425
Sunday,
game.
425.
There you go.
Yep.
Here we go. Let's Jets at Bills Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Okay, there it is. 4:25 p.m. All right. What do you think?
I have a lot of thoughts. do you want to shift the focus away from this game into the big picture, into that?
Okay. Let's start talking about playoff scenarios and playoff.
Can we
Sunday
say
football.
This?
Sunday Night Football is, by the way, Ravens for the AFC North. Yeah.
Let me say this.
Okay.
In the grand scheme of things, I understand it is just a building. It is just a stadium. I do appreciate that now I feel like the final game in the stadium is going to be about the final game in the stadium. Okay. If they were playing for something more than seeding, that would be the big story. Or if it was a playoff game, everybody's talking about the playoff game, as they should be. The way it has set itself up is the final game inside the stadium, which is, you know, very, very, very likely on Sunday, is now going to be about it being the final game at the stadium. And I like that, and I appreciate that as somebody who, you know, really has been candid about what this building means to this community, what it means to me, what it means to this organization. So I do think there's something poetic there. I know the storybook ending was that they hosted the AFC championship and that the last game ever there was a win and they were punching their ticket to the Super Bowl. But you think about the flip side to that is what if they hosted a playoff game and they lost that game and the last memory in the stadium was like this terrible loss that ended their season? Not a ton at stake in the week 18 game for the Bills. Not an insane amount. So I think that it really can kind of be a celebration in a way.
Okay, the Bills currently sit in the 7th seed. Houston is 5, Chargers are 6, Bills are 7. Houston can still get to the 3 if they win and Jacksonville loses. All right, then Jacksonville will drop down. The Bills can still get to the 6 or even the 7 if the Chargers lose. If the Bills win and then the Chargers lose, the Bills jump them. If Houston loses, the Bills jump them. Bills have to win first. If they both lose, the Bills would jump to the 5. So they could still be the 5, the 6, or the 7. That said, you're now looking at Denver, New England, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Houston, Baltimore, still all on the table. Mm-hmm. After everything that's unfolded here, do you have any preferences on where you think you'd like the Bills, like where it fits best for them to have the best opportunity where they finish here?
Okay.
So and should that depend on what happens Sunday night, I guess, between the Ravens and Steelers for you? Because the winner of that game is going to be the 4 seed.
Unequivocally, yes. And somebody at 11:22 asked the question, and I wrote it down. But before the game, now, like, you're obviously on the field, so, you know, I'm expecting you're not checking Twitter. Today at 4:02 p.m., I posted on Twitter, the 1 p.m. results make this Bills game very interesting. I could argue a loss is more valuable than a win. Somebody responded, just curious why you think that. And a lot of people, you know, were pushing back.
I like this.
And I said, if the Bills win out, they'll at worst be the 5 seed. I don't think the Steelers or Dolphins will win next weekend, which would mean the Bills would be heading to Baltimore for the 4-5 game. Even with their recent struggles, you want nothing to do with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Now, if you watch Sunday Night Football and Lamar Jackson doesn't play, or if the Steelers just beat the Ravens, you're going to be kicking yourself because you're going to be like, we could have been the 5 seed. We could have been going to Pittsburgh. And that's unequivocally the most favorable matchup. I just have a hard time trusting a Steelers team that I watched score 6 points today, imagining that they're going to beat Baltimore. It would be the most Tomlin thing ever to not win against the Browns and punch a ticket to the playoffs and then beat Baltimore to do it. But I'm just not having a ton of faith there. And I also was not having a ton of faith that the Patriots were going to lose to the Dolphins. So in this instance, I feel like it was more about kind of finding the better path. And you can 100% disagree, and there's a lot of people who probably will. I personally, if I'm the Bills, would rather play the Jags than the Ravens. I just would. And I know the Jags are hotter and they look like a buzzsaw right now. I just don't think you want to be going to Baltimore for probably a primetime playoff game and playing against Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. That seems like a death wish.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that the two toughest matchups for the Bills for very different reasons are the Texans and the Ravens. One, because the Texans' defense is so good that we've seen that, especially going to Houston. I'll be okay. Houston comes to Buffalo. I'm okay with that. I think the Bills can win that game because even though Houston's defense is really good, I think the Bills could take care of their offense at Highmark Stadium. But that said, it's still the worst, one of the worst matchups, either way, home or away. Ravens, totally different because of the other side of the ball, because Derrick Henry and running the ball and Lamar Jackson. We've seen that movie before, and we know that what that can look like against the Buffalo Bills. So I agree with you. And at this point, it doesn't look like the Bills will play either unless Houston wins.
Some crazy
and Jacksonville loses.
Yeah.
I don't think that has to be totally crazy, right? Who's Jacksonville play?
Tennessee.
They're going to lose, right? Probably. They need to go for the division. So if that were to happen, then Houston would get to the three. Okay. So now you're looking at either Denver. If Denver wins, they're the one seed. They want to win. They want to get the one seed. And they're playing the Chargers, right? Which is like, isn't Denver playing the Chargers? Like, the Chargers have nothing to really play for, I guess.
And Denver is playing for the one seed.
Right. So I think Denver's going to get the one seed. What's interesting to me here is New England doesn't have anything to play for now. They're very banged up. They could just rest some starters, which allows Jacksonville to maybe get to the two. Now Bills at seven would go to Jacksonville at two if that happens.
Well, so you're saying the Patriots don't have anything to play for. I think they do. I think that they would much rather be the two seed than the three seed. The three seed would potentially be playing against the Bills. The two seed would be maybe against the Chargers.
I think if you're the Patriots, I don't know how hard you go next week, given how banged up they are, is what I'm saying.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that at all. I think
that opens the door for Jacksonville to get to the two.
But that would require the Patriots losing.
If Jacksonville wins and New England loses, Jacksonville is the two because they have a better conference record.
And if that's the case, then the Bills are going to New England in the wild card round.
If they're the six.
If they're the six. But I mean,
the Bills are the seven, though, which if they lose next week, they're the seven, Matt.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
but
okay, we haven't talked about the Bills part of this, which
that,
I get.
That right, requires right. Everybody else, you know, also winning, and I don't know if that's going to be the case.
It doesn't, though. If the Bills lose next week, they're the seven seed. And the Bills are not going to play their starters much next week. That's what we need to talk about here.
So the
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally.
so unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bill, if the Bills lose next week, they are the 7 seed.
Yes. That's it. Then they go to the 2.
Yeah, but how much, even with backups, do we not think that the Bills would be, I mean, come on. Who the Jets are playing backups too.
They pretty much are. But the Bills are going to start Mitch Trubisky and play the whole game. He could win. Shouldn't say start him. I scratch that. They will not start Mitch Trubisky. Josh Allen's going to start. That streak is very important to Josh Allen, right? They're going to put him on the field and take him off. That's my prediction. That's what I think the Bills do. Mm-hmm. But we need to get into this and talk about it. I think this is a very good question because it was asked to Sean McDermott how they handle this. I can't see any scenario right now where the Bills are playing really anybody who's meaningful to them that has anything they want to make. They want to make sure everybody's healthy. I just can't. They're going to, and now you can only dress 48 guys. I get it. So there's only so many guys you can play and start. But like next week, I think it's Mitch Trubisky. You probably give James Cook enough carries to maybe try and get the rushing title, but you get him out of there. I think defensively, certainly no Terrell Bernard. Maybe you even put Dorian Williams at the mic to keep Shaq Thompson healthy. I think those are the kind of decisions. Jordan Poyer, you don't put him on the field. Maybe Spencer Brown after getting his eye poked and he said he's still a blurred vision this week. Matt, I think this is how they have to play it next week.
I don't disagree, but it also matters who they think is the best matchup for them. And if they feel strongly about a certain team or a certain matchup, or if they want to avoid something. And
that's right.
That's the fascinating part about all of this, because there are so many different outcomes and so many different scenarios where we could end up going like, ooh, that's a bad one, or ooh, that's a good one. The one thing I'll say is something weird will happen, because something weird always happens. Every single year in the final week of the season, it is not as chalk as you think. So you can sit there with the playoff machine and you could go, oh, if this happens, this happens, this happens, and this happens, this is what the outlook is going to be. Something weird will happen. We just don't know what that weird thing is yet.
Okay,
I personally rank the teams in order that you would most like the Bills to play and least like the Bills to play.
This message may be shocking to many millennials. If you are one, you might want to sit down. Right now, loads of people are searching the following on Depop: low-rise jeans, halter top, velour tracksuit, puka shell necklace, disc belt. You likely placed these in the dark of your closet in 2004, never to be seen again. But if you can find it in yourself to dust them off, there are a lot of people who will give you money for them. Sell on Depop, where taste recognizes taste.
So good, so good, so good.
New year, new gear. Thousands of fresh active styles are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Save on top brands like Nike, Puma, and Free People, starting at just $35.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
There's always something new.
Plus, join the Nordy Club to shop new arrivals first, unlock exclusive discounts, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you Rack.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast, smart move. Being financially savvy, smart move. Another smart move, having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
We know they have to go on the road for this, right? So
we
that matters.
Yeah, we already know
stadium
they're
at and all that.
And just do the first round. Like, you don't have to do like the
Can you give me the who am I choosing from here?
all of the other NFC teams?
All of the six other teams, because all of them are kind of a possibility. I mean, unless the
Broncos... Except for the Chargers. They can't go to the Chargers.
Yeah, they can't go to the Chargers.
The only... They can go to Denver, New England, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Houston, right?
Yes. And Denver is unlikely, because that would require them losing in a similar conversation we had about the Bills with the Chargers, of like, they are very banged up. I would imagine they're rolling out Trey Lance next week.
Probably right, but I'm still going to include them in my list here, Denver.
Sure.
Most like to play have to be Pittsburgh. You agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. I think second on that list might be New England.
Wow. You know, what's funny is a couple of our colleagues said the same thing after this game today. We were talking about, I wholeheartedly disagree with that. I think Drake May is phenomenal.
I do too. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
They looked really good today. They don't do a ton of things that really, I think, pose. They can run the ball with Travion Henderson getting a big run, and we saw that. Huh. But outside of Drake May being really good, I don't think they do all of these other things that really pose the Bills a lot of problems. Okay, that said, you're going to think I'm crazy about this, okay? I think Jacksonville's next on my list, because I don't trust Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars as much as they looked really, really good last week. They almost lost today at Indy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I get it.
I might put Jacksonville ahead of New England, but I think I got that. Uh-huh. Denver, I think the Bills can go to Denver and win. Denver has a very good pass rush. They also don't stop the run great, and they don't cover tight ends great, and they also have a quarterback in Bo Nix who can be very, very streaky and hot and cold.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't disagree with any of the things you've said, other than the fact that I would rather, if I'm the Bills, play Jacksonville than New England. And
okay, I totally get that.
And here's the thing.
Even down in Jacksonville, where they and against Jacksonville,
it's been a house of horrors. It's been a house of horrors for them.
Yes.
It's like Houston, other Houston. Whenever the freaking AFC South, for as shit of a division as that usually is, it seems to always be a problem for the Bills. Sorry for cussing. Here's what I'll say. The Jags defense is legit. Really good. And they've got some great pass catchers with Brian Thomas Jr., with Jacoby Myers ever since he's gotten there. There's a couple other guys who have really started to, really step up. And ETN, I think, is a pretty good running back. I don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be like in the playoffs. I know he's played a couple playoff games, but I would like to think in a game that I think is close, Josh Allen will be the better player than Trevor Lawrence. And also, there is something to be said about like the atmosphere and the, going to an opposing stadium. There's not much of a home field advantage in Jacksonville.
That is correct.
There will be Bills fans many would Bills take fans,
over the stadium.
There will be as
except
many
for
Bills
one
fans
thing,
there.
And I'm going to be very, very, very annoyed of hearing the Duval chant over and over again.
Duval.
I'm going to end this right now. You do that again. Listen, my buddy here, Dave Stapleton. Thanks, Dave. He said we murdered Jacks last season. That is right. I think we forget that the Bills did beat the heck out of the Jags, but that's in Buffalo.
Before Liam Cohen. That was also before Liam Cohen, who I think is an unbelievable coach. Look what Liam Cohen did. Look what Liam Cohen did with Baker Mayfield last year. Look what has happened to Baker Mayfield since, and look what the Jags are doing.
This is I'm going to parse your words here. I understand what you're saying, so I'm not going to totally disagree. I think Liam Cohen is a really, really smart offensive coach. I'm not convinced he's a great head coach.
Okay. I'll disagree.
They have a lot of, if you watch the Jags more than just the last few weeks where they look really good, they had a lot of issues operationally, penalties, not buttoned up, those kinds of things that fall on the head coach to me.
Yeah. And that takes time. And this is his first opportunity. Sure. So
it took time for Chicago, and they're starting to figure it out now. And they've been figuring it out with Ben Johnson, who's done a really good job there. I don't know. There's so many interesting possibilities. The only thing I don't like about, this is going to sound weird, playing 4:25 Sunday, it's even a few less hours if they have to play Saturday the following week. The Bills could play the Saturday game the following week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and just so everybody knows, we don't know the schedule, obviously. They could play Monday night, but the league always puts
a four or five
game on Monday night. No, it doesn't have to be NFC. It can be anyone, but it has been NFC. But they always put a 4 or 5 game. And the reason why, so everybody knows, is because by the time all the other games are played,
the 4-5 game really doesn't matter to switching opponents. So if you, whoever, whatever teams are still left after Saturday and Sunday, they know they're playing the winner of the 4-5 game, not, oh, they win, we got to play this other team. So they want to make it as clear as possible. So that's why it's a 4-5 game on the Monday night game.
Yeah. And the actually other point to what you just said is the fact that these NFC games are being played this year on Saturday might mean that the 4-5 game this year on Monday night is actually the AFC game, because then you would have these teams like the Panthers, let's say they win, they would be off from Saturday. So they'd have the Sunday off, and then they'd have to wait an entire week to then play on Monday night. That feels a little silly. It doesn't feel like that would be the thing. So maybe this is the year where the Monday night football game is the AFC 4-5. And there's a, I mean, if the Ravens win, like the most likely outcome now would be like Ravens Texans. That's a great primetime game. That makes a ton of sense. But also, like, the Texans always kind of play in that Saturday window. If it's Buffalo and Jacksonville, which I think right now might be the most likely outcome, and I say that with a little bit of doubt just because I don't know for sure, that could be anywhere. You have the Josh Allen effect, where they're not going to bury him, but you also have the Jags. That game could be Saturday 4:30. That could be Sunday 4:30. That could be anywhere.
Just want to address a comment by Pitzer here, who about my Jacksonville comment. He said we had a lot of issues operationally, penalties, turnovers, that on the coach. Then first of all, yes, it is on the offensive head coach when the offense has those operational issues. Liam Cohen is an offensive head coach, and Joe Brady, when the Bills have operational issues, they have not had anything near the operational issues the Jacksonville Jaguars have had. So I don't know what you mean by that, Pitzer, but when the Bills have had, like, getting out of the huddle late and we didn't get the play call time, yes, absolutely, it's on Joe Brady. I'm telling you, go back and watch the Jags earlier this year. They've been just one of the worst teams at that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Penalties, I try not to put on the coach very much in any situation. I'm just telling you, the Jags haven't been the most buttoned up team and organization. Turnovers can be a lot of different things. So yeah, yes, when you have an offense that has operational issues, a lot of times that is on the offensive coach. And if it's a head coach who's offensive or the offensive coordinator, yes, that is the answer.
I'm screwing around with the ESPN playoff machine. I don't think they don't care about winning this game, the Bills. I wonder if there's a small chance that the offense, like the whole starters, play like a half. Am I crazy?
No.
The Bills.
I don't think you're crazy. I don't know how much they play, but let's go back to what I said earlier. I think the Bills are playing anybody they can who can play and resting anybody who can who they need to play in the playoffs.
Like
as much as possible.
You need Josh Allen healthy. You do. But if you're the Bills and you're like, if we win, we're most likely to is the Broncos game at 4:00 also?
Broncos are playing
So like all of these kind of AFC significant
games. Well, the only one that is that matters to the Bills that's early is Houston, Titans, Indy. Jags. Oh yeah, and yeah, the AFC South games.
Yeah, the AFC South games. So yeah.
So you'll know a little bit there. You won't know anything. You'll be scoreboard watching for the Chargers at Broncos, for the Dolphins at Patriots, and then later for Ravens and Steelers, but that shouldn't matter much to the Bills at this point.
Here's a very small tidbit. I like the 4:25 window for the final game because it's the final game in the stadium. I like because we're all waiting to see where they'll play the following week. And then it makes it less of a wait and sit around and everything. Like just like a little like operational, like by this time next Sunday, we will know where and when the Bills are going and where they're
playing. Braden, who asked, Sal, can we talk kickers? We did that early in the show, man. Sorry you missed it, but you can go back and rewatch. We talked a lot about kickers early in the show and what they should do, shouldn't do, why they're doing what they're doing. Matt Prater. So go back and take a look and take a listen to that if you want. We've already been talking here for over 50 minutes. We have close to 5,000 live viewers. So thank you so much for joining us, Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. Are you saying, Matt, that you prefer to have that mad dash and mad rush to book your hotel and book your flight at 7:25 p.m. when the game is over and everything else is determined?
No, the real reason I'm happy that it's 4:25, and I'll be incredibly transparent with you, is that on Sundays we have newscasts at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock, mm-hmm. and if the Bills game is going on while the 6 o'clock news is going on, that is not something that I have to worry about, so it gives me a little bit of a longer runway to get things ready for the 11 o'clock news. So that is the real reason why I am happy that it is a 4:25 game. I also just think that, you know, like, there's something to be poetic about going out with the lights on in the stadium and it's dark outside. Like, I just kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens this week. Somebody made a comment about the practice this week being altered because of the weather. I guess that could happen, but it would take a massive, I don't think there's a huge storm coming. You know, it was a windstorm and some snow later, though. Yeah.
I think like Monday, it's actually Monday morning as we're recording this. I think Monday morning, it's supposed to be like very bad. All like
70,
I think
70 mile an hour gusts on Monday.
Yeah. And then snow. So you're talking about just crazy whiteout conditions. So if you're listening to this, hopefully you're driving safe or doing whatever you need to do safe. And yeah,
the Skyway is closed right now. That's right. I will be on WGR tomorrow morning with Jeremy and Joe at 7 a.m. And then WB in at 7:50. And then I do my show, my Extra Point show, from 10 to 12. And on Mondays, I always go into the studio to do the show. It's a football Monday. It's on video. I think what you're telling me is I might have to do it from Studio Capaccio here tomorrow.
I think you're going to. I think that I'm going to have the conversation about potentially doing our Monday show also from my basement and just see exactly what happens. So, yeah, we'll go from there. And then, you know, we'll do a couple episodes this week. And obviously, we've got a lot of like football stuff to talk about, but we should probably also talk about the stadium too.
No doubt. We'll definitely do that. A lot still to get to this week and beyond with the Buffalo Bills. In the locker room, talking with players, I brought it up and asked them a few times about not winning this game, but knowing they still have a lot to play for. And I think at the end of the day, Matt brought up a really good point earlier about maybe this being, what'd you say, at 4:02 p.m. you tweeted how there could be something good.
It might not be the worst thing. It builds in a buy that you like a half buy that you did not otherwise have. It gives you, first off, it's also a wake up call, and maybe you avoid a really, depending on how you view it, terrifying matchup. If I was the Bills, I wanted nothing to do with going to Baltimore and taking on Lamar Jackson. I do not care that he has not had a great season. Like, Derrick Henry has been a massive problem for this team. I do not think you want to do that, especially on the road.
I did hear a couple other of our media colleagues say to me, and I don't want to just totally disagree with this, today could have been the best result possible for the Bills, knowing that you need to get Josh Allen healthy. It sucks. You don't want to lose. Everybody's a competitor. You wanted to keep it open that you could win the division, but by winning today meant you would have to really go hard next week because you'd have to win that game and have the Patriots lose. Now you can kind of play it how you want to play it and know that you can't win the division. You're still in the playoffs and you can rest a lot of guys. So we'll see how the Bills approach it. Sean McDermott talked about it after the game and kind of gave the indication that, what did he say, Matt? We have a lot of things to discuss is what he said. We have a lot of things to talk about when it comes to that.
Just imagine if 1 week before the season, somebody told you, hey, Matt and Sal, the Bills have to beat the Jags in the playoffs. And if they beat the Jags, then they got to beat the Broncos. And that's what's separating them from the AFC championship. You know, and there's a lot of options here. But you'd have been like, hell yeah. Okay, sign me up. Everything that they are trying to accomplish is still in front of them. And I don't think that a stinker dud of a game against the Eagles is indicative of this team having the talent or the potential of going on a run. I have questions. I have doubts. But everything that they want to accomplish is still in front of them.
Matt, you have a great new year. Got any good plans?
No big plans. We'll do.
I don't know. We'll probably talk before then, before New Year's Eve, because that's Wednesday, right? We'll talk Wednesday afternoon, maybe. You and
last year we did a little shout out to my friends George and Christina. They had us over with our friends Ashley and Mike, and we all have toddlers, and we did a little fake ball drop at like 7 p.m. so our kids would be up for it, and we dropped balloons from the ceiling and they got super
nice.
Excited. So we told, you know, Happy New Year. It was 7 p.m.
That's New Year in like London.
Yeah, I haven't seen the turn of the calendar in a couple of years. I'm getting a little old.
Okay, we're at that point too, but this year we decided, Yana said, we're going to go make dinner reservations downtown, and then we can actually watch the ball drop. And we're actually going to we have dinner reservations somewhere downtown at like 10 p.m. And we're taking Max and we're going to hang out.
Oh, that's a great idea.
First time in a few years, we're actually going to see the new year. I love
that
idea.
Yeah, that's a really cool. I love the idea of like fitting it in with a dinner that's late. So you all kind of do it together. That's a really cool idea. That's awesome.
So we're going to do that. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for coming aboard. Over 5,000 of you watching. You can always subscribe to us, not only where you pod on Apple iTunes, Spotify, but also on YouTube at Sal Sports. For Matt, I'm Sal. Have a great week. Happy New Year. If we don't talk to you here in this particular format for the rest of this week, or you catch us after the new year starts. And of course, we're going to have a lot more for you on the Jets game, the final game at Highmark Stadium, and the Bills headed to the playoffs the week after that. Bye-bye.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more. At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.